Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
As President Biden faces new lows in his public approval, does he need a new COVID-19 strategy? And what might that look like? Welcome, I'm Kyle Peterson with the Wall Street Journal. We're joined today by my colleagues, columnist Kim Strassel and editorial writer Jason Willick. So Kim, as we enter year three of COVID-19, the question being raised is, where do things go from here? And one place to kick this off would be a column written last week by our colleague Dan Henninger. And I'll just read a line of it. He says, people are flying the pandemic white flag. They've stopped caring what the government, the politicians, or science is telling them about COVID. The COVID pandemic is altering many multiple behavioral patterns. And one of the biggest for which we should thank the virus is the death of certitude, unquote. And I wonder, Kim, I just ask you to react to that a bit.
Well, I guess I have less patience because I actually hit this point a year ago, but I'll take the fact that Dan believes that that the rest of America is now there as well, too. And you're seeing it all over the place, right? We had the members of the press the other day in an AP story talking about how the press is reevaluating how it reports and what it reports in terms of COVID data, because there is a growing acknowledgement that these case numbers really are irrelevant, in part, by the way, because people are home testing, they're not reporting it. Some people are refusing to test just because they want to get on with life as normal. You have folks all over flouting all of this guidance and the rules. You know, how many times per day do you go out and you see someone with a mask on, basically dangling from one ear or wrapped around their forehead? Nobody is really paying attention anymore. And the problem here is that we have this group of experts that for 2 years now have said, trust us, do what we say, things will get better. And in fact, all it has been is endless varying guidance that changes day to day. You know, don't mask, do mask, double mask, N95 mask, social distance, 6 feet, no, 3 feet. Here's this changing guidance for schools. And here's the changing guidance for how long you must isolate. And it just has left everyone feeling as though these people don't know what they're doing. And so why should we be taking orders from them? And it's a real problem because we need to have some belief in public authority and in science. But this is one of the consequences of a lot of scientists who refused to have any debate, shut it all down, issued commands, and now they've lost a lot of their standing.
But a big part of the story to me is that COVID seems to be getting less severe. If it were getting more severe, I'm not sure there would be as many people raising this white flag. But there's this big study out of California recently, Jason, and it is very striking. 70,000 patients were followed. Compared with Delta, the Omicron variant was half as likely to put people in the hospital. There was not a single patient in this group with the Omicron variant who had to be put on a ventilator. And if you were asking for a way out of this pandemic, something like this would be a pretty good answer, it seems to me.
Absolutely. I think what is finally becoming the conventional wisdom, which is that we have several coronaviruses in circulation. They often cause, you know, cold-like symptoms in many cases. This is going to gradually be another one of those, I think, is absolutely right. You know, when I look at the trajectory of the pandemic, it kind of makes me crazy because right now we have people sort of clinging to virus theater that isn't working. You know, after we're all vaccinated and after, or at least anybody who wants to be is certainly vaccinated, and after it's clear that the virus is less severe, before the vaccine, I thought mitigation was warranted, and we had some people sort of saying, oh, this is, you know, this virus is not so bad. It's comparable to, we don't need to take mitigation measures. I thought we did, but guess what? We had the vaccine. So I just feel like I'm going crazy because I don't know what the end game is. If we're all vaccinated and we're all going to be exposed to an endemic virus, what exactly we're accomplishing with the restrictions. You know, it was a severe virus. It was we've had 800,000 deaths. Even now, you know, despite the lower severity, just because it's apparently spreading so incredibly fast, we do have elevated hospitalizations, very high hospitalizations. Although, as you said, most of the hospitalizations are hopefully less severe, less ventilators required, shorter stays in the hospital. But, you know, we're not getting out of the virus completely, as it might have looked like in January when the vaccines looked like they were 90% effective at stopping infection and so on. It's clear now that they don't stop infection entirely, maybe not even at all, which, you know, in our last podcast, we talked about the Supreme Court rulings, which the Supreme Court accepted the government's assertion that this is going to stop infection of healthcare workers, of their patients. The science is changing on these kinds of things all the time. So that's another example of something that's changed. But regardless, the vaccines turned out to not eliminate the virus, but they turned out to make it less severe for anybody who wants to take the vaccine. And I think that a lot of people are coming around to the fact that that means that that mitigation is really just is delaying the problem and not solving it, not solving the question of how to live with the virus.
Well, and the question of how to live with the virus is one that it seems to me, at least, the Biden administration is still not really addressing. Last week, the president said he was telling his staff to buy an additional 500 million tests for distribution. Previously, he'd said he was going to do the same number. So now we have a billion tests that the Biden administration is at some point in the future going to be giving out. He also announced something on masks. Listen to this.
We also have helped make sure that high-quality masks are widely available in ample supply at affordable prices, sold online and in stores. But I know that for some Americans, a mask is not always affordable or convenient to get. So, next week, we'll announce how we are making high-quality masks available to American people, the American people, for free. I know we all wish that we could finally be done with wearing masks. I get it. But they're a really important tool.
And my question there, Kim, is it sounds like that's a strategy that maybe would have been helpful before the vaccines or before this Omicron wave hit. There have been a lot of testing shortages lately. And if the government had bought up a billion tests and kept them in reserve for people who have not been able to get them in the last 2 months and wanted to get them, maybe that would have been helpful. But I'm starting to wonder how helpful that's going to be in February.
It would have been helpful at any time before now. but it's not going to be helpful now. And that's because we're looking out in the press is already reporting and health officials that they're beginning to see Omicron numbers come down, especially in the parts of the country where it first hit. We know this from places like South Africa and Britain that cases escalate very fast, but the converse of that is it tends to die off pretty quickly too. So some experts are saying we could really be over this in coming weeks, by which point more masks and more tests are not going to be the answer. And this is a big question that the Biden administration has been facing, which is what exactly has it been doing over the past year? It came in, you had a vaccine distribution system that was largely set up for it. It did see that through, which was good. But there's all these things that should have been done a year ago upon taking office, like ramping up that testing capacity, like getting what administration had done when it pre-ordered a lot of vaccines, even when they didn't know it was going to work. We now have these new Pfizer pills and other therapeutics that are going to come online, but there aren't enough of them, so they're having to be rationed. That could have been something that the government invested in way back earlier in the hopes that they would pan out, and it didn't happen. So this is the problem increasingly the administration faces is no one realistic really believes it's responsible for the fact that we have variants and that cases are raging. But in terms of the tools that we use to fight back against this latest surge, it seems utterly unprepared.
And just to underline the point about Omicron, I'll just read a couple lines from a recent article in the Journal, the news pages. It says, the steep rise in new daily COVID-19 cases fueled by the Omicron variant is starting to slow in some early U.S. hotspots, including New York and Chicago, sparking some optimism that a record-breaking spike in cases may be plateauing, unquote. And so, Jason, what could end up happening here, and let's hope that the case counts keep dropping, what could end up happening here is the case counts plummet and the Omicron wave ends, just as these free masks are coming in the mail, courtesy of the Biden administration.
Yeah, that's just our luck, or I suppose just the Biden administration's judgment, but there's going to be other variants. I mean, I remember when we thought after each wave, I don't know if it's been four waves, including the Delta wave, and after almost, and then following the Delta wave, or maybe, after we started vaccinating, it looked like we were, the numbers were plummeting and we were done with this for good. But I'm not sure that we've seen the last of the variants. Hopefully, I think that the selective pressures on the virus won't make it more severe. So If we get another variant, it may not be, hopefully it'll be like Omicron or even less in this sort of process that people have laid out for a virus becoming endemic, although that's not guaranteed. So maybe, you know, maybe we're done with this after Omicron, maybe we're not. I think it would be foolish for anyone to say with certainty. And I guess at least the masks that he's proposing are going to be N95s or KN95s rather than the, you know, because the more contagious the virus is, I think we're finding that cloth masks and even surgical masks are a lot less effective than those, the KN95s and N95s, which are, of course, much more uncomfortable and a much greater burden on everybody. So in some Asian countries, East Asian countries, Japan, during flu season, people are wearing masks all the time. I don't think that's most of America, but we still have a long way to go, I suppose.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. So, Kim, when we talk about the Biden administration leading a new strategy, pivoting toward, you know, helping Americans live with this virus, can you give it a sense of what that would mean, what that would look like from your perspective?
Sure. I mean, it goes to the way we described this virus in part. And what we know is that this variant is hopefully and so far proving to be less deadly than prior ones. And if you listen to experts like Dr. Marty McCary, who is often a guest on our Journal Editorial Report show on Fox, they talk about that in 99% of cases, when you have new variants of diseases, they tend to downgrade with the variants. They don't tend to get more virulent. And so the hope is that this, over time, maybe even in coming months, downgrades more to a serious cold, just as there are other coronaviruses that currently are out there in existence and are responsible for seasonal colds that people get. And so we end up slowly, or hopefully in my mind more quickly, thinking of it that way and stopping with all the data porn online, that the constant sort of case count numbers, et cetera, get our schools back to normal and have a new debate about masks and mask mandates and whether they work. Double down, obviously, on the therapeutic side and also a logistical system whereby when people first exhibit any symptoms or test for a coronavirus, that they have the ability to quickly get a hold of a therapeutic pill that will help better ensure that they don't end up with a bad case and end up in a hospital. You know, these are the sort of things that the administration could be transitioning to, not to pretend like, oh, it's nothing and it's all gone, but just to get people into the habit of thinking of this more as a seasonal respiratory disease rather than an emergency.
But that transition from the administration so far is not in evidence. And one notable moment last week was an NBC reporter asked Vice President Kamala Harris whether it was time to change strategies. And here's what she said.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
And on the one hand, Jason, being the vice president is a tough position to be in because you can't get ahead of the president, the guy who put you on the ticket. On the other hand, the answer there suggests that there maybe is not a whole lot of talk in the White House about this kind of strategic shift yet.
Yeah, I have to say the vice president has been sort of caught flat-footed in a number of these interviews, including about supply chains, now about COVID, which is unfortunate for her. And, you know, it's interesting because it wasn't in evidence during the debate with Mike Pence. She actually did a good job. Her stumbles more recently were not foreshadowed by that debate. She delivered when it mattered. So who knows if she's not preparing or what's going on. But I think you're right that does signal that the White House doesn't see that it's time to change strategies. On the other hand, you know, you did have this recent change in CDC guidance that you have to quarantine from 10 days to 5 days, or don't quote me on exactly what it was, but basically easing the quarantine burden for people who are infected with Omicron, especially who are vaccinated. And you had Fauci and Rochelle Walensky, the director of the CDC, basically saying this is because it would impose too much of a social burden to keep our own rules. So I think you are seeing some evolution, but not a real pivot, as you said. And I frankly think, you know, a lot of this is cultural. I think that even if the Biden administration were to say X, Y, or Z, or the CDC were to say something, while that would be influential, I think you would still find sort of teachers unions wanting to not go to school. You would still find in just very blue areas, a lot of people clinging to this zero risk approach to the virus. But let's hope that they start accelerating their shift here.
I take the point that a lot of this is cultural. But for example, we have on Friday, the Supreme Court struck down this OSHA mandate on employers with 100 more workers. 85 million employees would be applied to that. And we don't know yet how they intend to respond to that. So that's one question, Kim, is the Biden administration could have OSHA try to write a more tailored rule, but continue on with this vaccine or testing mandate approach, or they could try to shift approach. And if they don't see the need to make a shift, I mean, look out. There's a new Quinnipiac poll that shows President Biden at a new low of approval among registered voters. It's 35%. And we're what now? Less than a year from the November elections, the midterm elections.
Right. And we're a year into the Biden administration. And so far, what has defined it, at least here toward the end, is its ability to just continue banging its head on the wall in the exact same place, thinking that it's going to get a different result. And you're seeing that over and over again. These vaccine mandates and all of the rules are obviously becoming increasingly more annoying to Americans, even as they drop the virus from their top priorities, because they are learning to live with it. You've got the administration pushing on this voting rights legislation, which is going nowhere because of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Foreign policy, it continues to get itself in a rut ever since Afghanistan and right now these ongoing Russian negotiations. So it needs to pivot, figure out a new place to land. The problem that they have is that progressives are wedded to all of these positions. They have made that the standard for what they define as success. And this administration just seems unwilling to stand up and lead and to tell the party what is going to happen next. Instead, it just keeps taking its directions from them, and it's clearly not working out well.
Just to dig into that Quinnipiac poll a little bit more, the Americans adults were asked about Biden's response to the coronavirus. 39% approve, 55% disapprove. On foreign policy and the economy, the numbers, believe it or not, are even worse. Foreign policy, it's 35% approve, 54% disapprove. The economy, it's 34% approve, 57% disapprove. Jason, I expect the foreign policy number, a lot of that has to do with Afghanistan. Nothing the president can do really to change Afghanistan now. Now, on the economy, though, we're still seeing these inflation figures. And one notable piece of news here is Jason Furman, Obama administration economist, wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal's editorial pages. And he says he is way more unsure about the path of inflation than a lot of the people who are saying that they expect it to go down. He says it could be even higher in 2022 than it was in 2021. And of course, think of the source here. This is an economist who was working for President Obama. So this is not somebody whose interests are against President Biden's interests. There again, Jason, I think that it's an example of where the Biden administration needs to pivot. And so far, I'm not seeing it.
We saw, and you know, it's not inevitable. It's not, a Democrat does not need to take all of these positions. We mentioned, last week, Kyrsten Sinema sort of showed a way to talk about polarization and voting and election reform, which she supports in a way that, you know, the president could if he wanted to. Jared Polis of Colorado has sort of pivoted to the center on COVID restrictions. So, you know, there's examples of Democrats around the country who are able to govern in this way. I gave examples of Colorado and Arizona, not Massachusetts or California. But it does seem like it's not impossible for him, but he either doesn't believe in doing it, or he's just not able to do it because of the people he's surrounded with and his diminished capacity to sort of lead, that he's relying more on his aides who have marinated in sort of the DC liberalism of Washington and of these big cities. As for inflation, I think that's absolutely right. We had another bad inflation number. It was trying to be spun as somehow a good thing and showing progress. But as we've discussed before, that would require, you know, taking his foot off the regulatory state with these restrictions on pipelines and this general regulatory push that is raising prices by reducing supply.
Thank you, Jason and Kim. Thank you all for listening. You can email us at pwpodcast@wsj.com. And if you like the show, please hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Potomac Watch.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.